Welcome to Women on the Line, a community radio national feminist current affairs program featuring the voices of women and gender diverse people, produced at 3CR Community Radio in Naarm, Melbourne, and broadcast on the Community Radio Network. I'm Cleese Hart.
You know, the fact is everyone has to buy electricity just as we've got to buy water. The market's flooded with choice, but they're all big corporate players.
Women on the Line acknowledges that this program is produced and presented on the stolen land of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nations and that their sovereignty was never ceded. We pay our respects to their elders past and present, as well as to those of the First Nations people whose country you're hearing us on. This week on the program, we are looking at energy democracy in action, specifically Cooperative Power, a not-for-profit cooperative which is member-owned and member-run. CoPower provide gas and electricity to households across the continent, facilitate democratic solutions to social and environmental problems, and assist members and the community to transition away from fossil fuels. Recently, CoPower's energy partner Energy Locals was bought out by major retailer Origin Energy, prompting CoPower to announce that they are opening a tender for a new white label product partnership for an energy partner who shares their values. So, in less corporate speak, finding a new energy supplier to be CoPower's source of electricity for their members. On today's show, we speak with Claire Harvey, Cooperative Power board member, about what CoPower does, why their model is different, and what CoPower's response has been to the dismaying news of the purchase of their energy partner by Origin.
I'm Claire Harvey. I live on Bunurong country, southeast of Melbourne, towards the Mornington Peninsula. I am a parent to two teenagers, and I'm on a long journey of trying to build my own sustainable house. It was supposed to be a co-housing community, but that was too hard, too many barriers. So now just a sustainable build, but we're in year 10. So I'm learning that change takes time.
And you're also, as I understand it, a board member of Cooperative Power and the representative for the Uniting Church Victoria and Tasmania Synod. To the board, is that correct?
Yep. I started out with CoPower as an ordinary household member. I switched across from PowerShop when they were bought out by Shell, and then I guess learnt more about them as a household customer member, and then the opportunity came up to represent the Uniting Church Victas Synod, and from there to end up on the board and also be treasurer. So yeah, I've learnt a lot from the outside and then moving further into the inside.
An amazing journey. So thank you again for bringing your expertise to the program, Claire. I mean, to begin, what is Cooperative Power? What does Cooperative Power do for listeners who might not be aware?
So Cooperative Power is an alternate model of purchasing an essential service that I'd say more than 99% of Victorian and Australian homes would need and rely on, unless you're completely off grid, and I still think that's quite rare. And it is cooperative, it's democratic, it's member run. So we do generate proceeds or surplus, but we have a democratic budget and we decide how those funds are used. So it doesn't go to big corporates and it certainly doesn't flow back overseas unless we want to support some amazing generally justice and climate orientated program elsewhere in the world. So it's exciting to be a part of something that looks and sounds and feels different through, I guess, a regular purchasing decision that all households are having to still make, and to be making a difference, and also to be learning about the different groups that are out there doing great things that are looking for support, and then to be able to vote on where we'd like to allocate money through our democratic budget. That's, I think, been the most exciting aspect of being a CoPower customer for me.
100%. Could you tell me a bit more about that? I understand members vote to support different projects, and in the last couple of years, those kinds of projects have included the Goulburn Community Solar Project, a solar and battery system in Deir al-Sudan Women's Cooperative in the West Bank in Palestine, and also supporting the Seed Indigenous Youth Climate Network's grassroots gathering.
Yes, so there are some clear sort of values or pillars when we accept nominations of projects that are looking for funding. They'll sort of be run through that lens. And what's been exciting is just the great take up of people wanting to partner with CoPower and the learning journey that customers are then encouraged to go on. And I think, I don't know if it's 20, but say you've got 20 points to allocate between various projects. That's how the voting works. And then we look at which projects are most popular. I guess part of the model is that there might be, the Uniting Church VicTas would be one. There might be groups that are trying to encourage, in their case, congregants or congregation members to sign up with CoPower, but they might have their own project that they are looking to have supported. And it's in their interest to have lots of Uniting Church members signing up as customers, knowing that they will also be voters in terms of how the democratic budget works. I mentioned in the intro my involvement in co-housing, and it was really exciting a year or two ago to see that one of the groups looking for funding was trying to put together a website. You could say it's almost like a dating kind of thing in terms of matchmaking people interested in co-housing in terms of the build and living there, and also people who might be looking to find or able to finance. And it was really to connect people that have similar interests around co-housing. And I think if that functionality had existed a decade ago, my own journey of trying to get a project like that up might have been really different. Mm. So even helping people find each other that are trying to make a difference in terms of how we set up the infrastructure to live well, and as part of that, live more simply and live with, I guess, more of a justice awareness in terms of the impact of what we're doing, how we're consuming, how we're traveling, the energy use of that's sort of baked in terms of the design of our homes and our communities. That was our goal. And it would have made the world of difference to have had this website that helps connect people with that passion, because finding each other and finding resources and backers and champions was a critical part of, I think, why our project fell over multiple times and is now not going ahead.
And I also understand that CoPower also assists members to transition away from fossil fuels for their energy needs where possible, in the form of providing grants and things like that.
Yes, and particularly so, a fairly recent decision was to start providing gas. For a while, we really held off because we didn't want to support gas, which is really, if you are burning a fossil fuel in your home, there's no green alternative. There's no renewable natural gas. Unlike electricity, people can be generating it on their own roofs and putting it into the grid, but you can also be buying power in the grid that's been generated by wind or solar or other renewable technology. I've, for probably almost 20 years, supported 100% government accredited green power. So there was at least ethical options available within the electricity market, but with gas, that's just not there because it's a fossil fuel. But eventually, after quite a lot of interest, if not pressure from customers who still wanted that more ethical option, we did start providing gas. And what we committed to do was all of the proceeds through, I guess, that additional option would be set aside and would help people get off gas, shift towards renewables, different grants, whether it was your heat pumps or in terms of hot water or heating, or smaller things like people wanting to upgrade their stovetop and get off gas and go to an induction cooktop. Particular assistance for those renting, because we end up stuck in a different way, in that even if we had the money to upgrade our homes or could finance that somehow through low interest green loans, it's not our property to be upgrading. I had the situation where I actually got in touch with my landlord through my agent and offered to co-contribute, because there are ways to do that now to sort of say, look, I'll chip in towards solar panels, but they're yours, not mine. And my owner, property owner, landlord had no interest whatsoever in even having the conversation. So I was even willing to do them a favour and just didn't shift the dial. So renters particularly get quite stuck in terms of being quite limited in the modifications they can make to their dwelling, because it essentially doesn't belong to them. And often it's not in their financial interest, especially if you could get given notice to move. And then your investment, you know, ends up benefiting someone else. Ultimately good for the environment, but probably quite a poor financial decision.
So all of that is really amazing. But we're actually speaking today for the structure of CoPower is that Cooperative Power have a white label product partnership with Energy Locals, who are a bit like your energy supplier. So they provide, I guess, the electricity, and then that's sort of onsold through Cooperative Power through the model we've been discussing. And Energy Locals has very recently been bought by Origin Energy. Could you speak a bit about that, CoPower's relationship with Energy Locals, and what the sale of Energy Locals to Origin Energy means?
So I guess at the outset, there was an original partnership, obviously, with Energy Locals, and it was predicated on holding large corporations that dominate the market to account and a commitment to support the renewable energy sector. So I guess that was the assumption. My understanding is there was a change, a sort of intermediate change in ownership with Energy Locals, and maybe some of that commitment and vision was lost. But then this acquisition took place in the last business week before the summer break. So it really left us with not a lot of time to pivot and navigate what that would mean to us. We needed to seek some legal advice around our contractual obligations and what our options were. And there are so many barriers to set up as an electricity retailer, which is, I guess, essentially part of the issue, that it's not something CoPower could do as a cooperative. You'd need millions of dollars to start something like that up, particularly as a new entrant, a new player in the market. So the non-distributing cooperative model just would struggle to ever get the finance to become a retailer, especially overnight. And then some kind of, you know, buying someone else again would take a lot of money. So we really relied on this partnership and an alignment there in terms of our why and what it is that we're trying to do. So, you know, hence the language around being dismayed and shocked, and I guess disappointed is part of that as well. It sort of is really an existential crisis for us as an organization in terms of our operating model, and a sense that it's less than satisfactory would be soft language. Just not something we, in all honesty, could go back to our customer members and say, we just need to wear this because of that lack of alignment with our deep commitment to, hold the bigger players to account and to work towards changing the system.
Women on the Line.
On community radio around so-called Australia, you're listening to Women on the Line. You're hearing a conversation with Claire Harvey, CoPower board member, about what Cooperative Power is and what the organisation's response has been to the purchase of their energy partner, Energy Locals, by large retailer Origin Energy.
Particularly the size and, I guess, the position they play and have played in the market. I guess we always need to give some degree of benefit of the doubt with large corporations and the direction in which they might head. But I guess the signals that we were really would have been looking for were not there. If essentially we're wanting to present a different market model, partnering with one of the biggest players, it's contradictory.
You mentioned that the change happened quite fast in the last week before the summer break. I was going to ask if CoPower had any opportunity to resist the change, but it sounds like perhaps the answer to that is no.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I mean, again, this is part of larger players that have dominance in the market. There's not much you could do in that they bought out Energy Locals, and I guess in that sense there's been no interruption to supply. And we have said to our household members, this will not change pricing or supply. Nothing will be discontinued. It's fundamentally more at that philosophical and value alignment.
And there is actually a kind of precedent here. In 2021, energy retailer PowerShop, which was a carbon neutral energy supplier through climate offset schemes and also they invested in renewable energy projects. They were bought by Shell in 2021. I mean, do you see any parallels here?
Definitely, and not just parallels, personally a sense of deja vu. So that was my story exactly in terms of being a PowerShop customer and a proud one that opted in to do the referrals to friends, where everyone sort of gets a credit and everyone wins. I was a believer and I got my friends on board. So I think that added to the sense of betrayal for me as someone who was working, I say working literally at, for a while there, I was working for an energy efficiency engineering company, and the end goal was trying to help bigger organizations reduce their energy use and therefore emissions. So it's been part of my working life, including some carbon accounting, but also activism, which has included in involvement with groups like Environment Victoria, and they are one of the member organizations. And I think it was my involvement with Environment Victoria that actually put me on to CoPower when PowerShop was bought out. They got the media attention and they got some of the traction, and they did the research and in a sense endorsed CoPower and recommended to Environment Victoria members that this would be a sensible and ethical switch for those of us that felt stuck. So that's very much how my customer journey started.
Mm. I mean, what do you feel the motivation of these large energy retailers is in buying, you know, a provider like Energy Locals? Is it a case of trying to sort of absorb the competition or greenwashing, or what is the vibe there?
I don't know in this case that it's greenwashing. It might have been so with Shell and PowerShop. Energy Locals is an award-winning provider with great customer service and local customer service team. So that's great. I mean, they tick a lot of really good boxes. Yeah, you mentioned in a sense maybe gobbling up the smaller competition. I don't know. I'd be guessing. I'd no idea what happens in their boardrooms, but I know often it is about market share and dominating the market. And just I don't know that healthy competition is, as much as we say that's foundational to healthy capitalist societies, is this sense of healthy competition. Big players, you know, they generally fare better with the less competition in the market. So, and unfortunately, the smaller players don't have deep pockets and don't have a lot of leverage.
And I want to ask, you know, what the response to this has been from Cooperative Power and what you're doing. But just quickly, I think it would be great to touch on another aspect of Cooperative Power's structure really quickly first, which is that it's member owned, and it's member owned by organizations. And yeah, in terms of countering those deep pockets, this is one way that that can take place. What kind of member organizations are in fact the owners of Cooperative Power?
So the member organizations themselves need to be democratically run. So for that reason, and I guess some of the initial energy, there are a lot of union-based organisations. So United Workers Union, we've got the National Tertiary Education Union, we've got the Community and Public Sector Union, Australian Services Union Authority, different branches of that. We've got the Australian Education Union and also the Nursing and Midwifery Federation. So the Victorian branch. But beyond that, we've got some organisations more involved in the justice space, so Union Aid Abroad, and then the environmental space. So Friends of the Earth Melbourne, I've already mentioned Environment Victoria, and then some smaller organisations, some of which are more local, but the Energy Innovation Cooperative, and we've got the Ballarat Renewable Energy and Zero Emissions Inc.
Amazing. Quite a list. And we haven't covered everyone there. I'm so sorry to anyone we've missed out. So yeah, that's a really, I suppose, people-focused foundation for Cooperative Power. So with that lens in mind, I mean, how is CoPower responding to the sale of Energy Locals to Origin Energy?
So we really are trying to build a sense of collective people power. And at the heart of that at the moment is a pledge. So we are asking people to sign up and make a commitment to CoPower 2.0, not knowing quite what that will be. But the pledge goes like this: I pledge my support for fair energy run by a trusted nonprofit which stands up for climate justice and gives power back to the people through being member owned and run.
That sounds like quite a powerful statement.
Yes. So some of the interesting feedback from people, because we have asked them, you know, why is this important? Why is this important to you? And what would you like us to prioritize? Again, it's democratic. We want to hear from our members because that's essential to who we are. So things like climate justice and also the urgency of that came through, remaining independent from big energy and the influence of fossil fuels, being member-owned and democratic, recognising that we're an essential service, and that framing of it being a public good and certainly in the common interest and fighting for the commons, but also countering the continuation of this move towards privatisation. People wanting fair prices, particularly sort of that equity lens for those who are renting, those facing hardship, those who are finding incredible barriers to the transition towards renewables. They wanted the value alignment that we've talked about, trust, transparency, and they love that idea that there might be a continuation of that reinvestment in community. So whether that's local projects, First Nation focused projects, or even people doing innovative things further away where people are increasingly suffering the impact of fossil fuels, and often it's the poorer people that are hit first and worst, and often it's those living more affluent lives, particularly in the developed West, that are contributing more to a disrupted climate.
I understand that CoPower is also looking at a tender for a new white label product partnership with like a new supplier. Where is that at this stage?
Well, it's fairly new news, so we appreciate you helping us to get the word out. And it was, we're going to tender in Feb, or we're putting word out, but the options, because of this continual trend towards smaller providers being bought out, I'd say there's been significant change even in the last 5 years. The options are fairly limited for us in terms of other providers. I won't go into the sort of, I guess, what could be considered commercially sensitive, but I guess one of the things that is coming through is that there is interest in us campaigning for government to play a greater role here. In Victoria in particular, we really welcome the, I was going to say establishment, but it's really the re-establishment of the SEC, the State Electricity Commission.
Mm.
You know, the fact is everyone has to buy electricity just as we've got to buy water. The market's flooded with choice, but they're all big corporate players. It would be great if we could build momentum beyond the CoPower community and have more people jump on board, maybe not as customers, but to say, yeah, who wouldn't want something that's more fair and that leads to better outcomes for the environment, for households and their budgets, even for people's sense of having a voice and a vote and participating in a healthy democracy that is actually functioning for the people, which, you know, ultimately should be the end goal. So who knows, there might be other things that come out of this. Again, the more people are talking about it, the more people are aware, which is great as well.
And if listeners want to support this work or get involved with CoPower 2.0, what is the best thing for them to do?
We would love them to go to our website where they can join the 800 people who have signed the pledge so far. So the CoPower website is cooperativepower.org.au, and when you go there, you'll actually sort of get the pledge come up, but in the top line too is in the options is take our pledge. So one of the things we're aware of is that people might choose to end their CoPower journey as a customer now and say, look, I want to vote with my feet, and I'm going to find another energy provider while I wait to see what happens with CoPower 2.0. But for those who are willing to stick with us in the meantime, the proceeds that usually tipped into our democratic budget will be part of our fighting fund to build what comes next. So knowing that often you've got to have some kind of fighting fund and some money to invest. So we would love all the help we can to get word out, knowing that our budget and our operational model's really lean. We've got 2 part-time staff. We have a board of volunteers. None of them are remunerated. So again, it's just a completely different model, which I think people would find incredibly refreshing if they knew about us.
Claire, that sounds like a strong response from Cooperative Power to a surprising and indeed, as per Cooperative Power's correspondence, dismaying change. We're running out of time for today's program, but is there anything you'd like to add before we wrap up our conversation today?
I think you've already given me opportunity to do my pitch, which was, we'd love people to get on board by taking the pledge. And it doesn't actually mean at this point you need to do anything in terms of your electricity supply. But if you jump on board and take the pledge, you can keep updated and see what happens next. I'm as interested as you are. So we'll see what happens. But I guess the more support we've got, the stronger signal we can send to potential partners and also to the market and other players like government and regulators that there is actually demand for something different, that we want choice and we want to be able to make a more ethical choice that aligns with our values, particularly those of us that are really concerned about the future from the perspective of justice and particularly our climate, because everything stops without a habitable climate.
Yes, agreed, Claire. It could not be more urgent. So thank you so much for joining us on the program today. Really appreciate your time. And yes, all the best to everyone involved with CoPower with this tumultuous period.
Oh, thank you. I appreciated the opportunity.
You just heard an interview with Claire Harvey, board member for Cooperative Power, speaking about CoPower's mission and their response to the purchase of their energy partner, Energy Locals, by Origin Energy. To find out more or pledge your support for CoPower 2.0, you can visit cooperativepower.org.au. And that's all for Women on the Line today. Women on the Line is a community radio, national feminist current affairs program featuring the voices of women and gender diverse people. This program was produced in Naarm, Melbourne, with the amazing support of 3CR staff, so a big thank you to them. Women on the Line is broadcast across so-called Australia on the Community Radio Network, and we greatly appreciate financial support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. We welcome your comments or thoughts on today's show, so send us an email to womenontheline@gmail.com or phone 3CR on 03 9419 8377. If you would like more information about today's program or to listen to the show again, you can find what you need on the Women on the Line website, 3cr.org.au/womenontheline. The theme music for Women on the Line is by Ripley Cavara. I'm Cleese Hart. I hope you can tune in again next time.